do our quick 5-minute Bible study. The nice thing about this is it gives people an opportunity who can't stay for a full Bible study to get just a little bit of something during the week. Well, last week, we ended with Luther arriving in Rome in January 1511. Now, he had expected this golden city, the foundation of the entire Western world, to be a place of great piety and beauty. He wanted to see the relics of the saints. He wanted to say the prayers. He wanted to climb the holy steps, all in order to win time off of purgatory for his grandfather. Now, that would have been an amazing experience for him. But when he came into the city, he saw such iniquity everywhere he turned. There were brothels that were set up only for the monks. There were drunken priests, drunk off communion wine, wandering through the city. Everything required money. The piety that he wanted to show as he prayed before the relics of the saints, it was interrupted by those owners who hustled him along so that other tourists could come alongside and give their money. Now, most of these things, we're going to be honest and say that Luther was used to seeing. There have always been corrupt people in the church, people who speak one thing and do another. In fact, I think this is true in all our lives. Haven't we all said, if we've got children, do as I say and not as I do? Luther wasn't surprised necessarily by the acts that he witnessed. He was, I believe, surprised that Rome, the holy city, the city founded on the back of Peter, the chosen place for the kingdom of God to reign in this world until Christ's return, would allow such things within her. See, the Pope was supposed to be the most pious man in all of Christendom, ruling over the Roman Church, not for his own power, but out of love for those underneath him. And so Luther wondered, how could such a leader allow his people, his parishioners, really all the people who claim to be in Christ, to do such harm to themselves in their sin? I mean, when a pastor knows that his parishioners are sinning, shouldn't he call them on it and not allow them to build a brothel so that they'll just have easier access? How much more so for the Pope? See, Luther's confidence in the goodness of the office of the Pope was shaken that day. The Pope apparently wasn't concerned with the salvation of those in Rome, letting them give themselves over to the lusts of the flesh. It began to plant in his mind this idea that maybe, just maybe, the Pope did nothing out of self, or did everything for self-service, nothing that didn't benefit himself. And that thought would actually continue to fester in Luther's mind until it came to fruition in 1517. Now, Luther's trip to Rome was supposed to ease his confidence, ease his conscience too, give him the ability to find a little peace, but instead, he found only more self-torture. Now, one last quick story from Rome. You've heard me the last couple of weeks talk about these holy stairs that are there. These are supposedly the stairs. They're called the Scala Sancta, the holy stairs. They're these marble stairs that supposedly are to have come from the house of Pontius Pilate himself, the stairs that Jesus would have stood on while he answered Pilate's questions. And these were supposed to have been brought over in the 4th century by the Emperor Constantine's mother, Helena. Now, I don't know that they're really real. I suppose I would probably say that they're not. But a lot of people do believe that they are real. And they are still in Rome. If the legend is true, they've been there for 1,600 years now. Now they are, though, encased in wood. And you can't actually, and you never really have been able to walk up the stairs. You have to use your knees to climb. And if you do anything else, it's an offense. So in Luther's time, and really it actually is still this way today, climbing those stairs upon your knees would earn you indulgences for your sins. Now, sometimes that indulgence might be 9 years per step. Sometimes it was 1 year per step. Today, if you do the entire thing, it's an indulgence for all of the sin that you had committed up until the point that you finished those steps. And I don't really know how much it was for Luther at his time, but whatever it was, he was expecting time off for his grandfather. But as he was climbing those steps, it was said, and this is a bit apocryphal, it's a bit legendary. I don't know if it's true, but this is the story. This is how it goes. It was said that Luther heard these words, the words in his heart and his mind. And they were the words of Paul, from Galatians 3:1. And Paul is actually just echoing Habakkuk 2:4, or 3:11, I should say, Galatians 3:11 and Habakkuk 2:4. He heard this: "The just shall live by faith." It wasn't a still, small voice, but a thunderous, loud announcement. He actually stood up, they say, to see if someone had really been yelling it down the stairs. And then he heard it again. And he stood up a second time. And he turned around, and he walked down the steps, and he left. Now, he stayed in Rome a little while longer, and then he returned home, thinking of the Italian proverb, "If there is a hell, Rome is built upon it." When he got home, Luther again suffered under the weight of his sin. So his father confessor, and that a father confessor is just a man that a pastor or a priest confesses their sins to, Johann von Staupitz was his name. His father confessor came up with a brand new plan. Perhaps if Luther would spend some time in academics, he could get off the theological brooding. He could ignore his sins a little bit more and just focus on getting some work done. Little did Staupitz know that he had just opened the door for Luther to take all of his doubts and all of his concerns and all of his observations to Wittenberg, a brand new city with a brand new university, to bring about change on a global scale. We'll end there this week. Let's pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank and praise you for feeding us the life-giving body and blood of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Send your Holy Spirit that, having with our mouths received the Holy Sacrament, we may by faith obtain and eternally enjoy your divine grace, the forgiveness of sins, unity with Christ, and life eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go in his peace.